It's good to be together again to study God's Word. And as you know, we're in a series on knowing God, on knowing the character and the attributes and the nature of God. And we've been looking at different aspects of God's attributes. And we come to one of the most amazing attributes of God, and that is that God is love. You know, it's been said that when someone feels loved, the world glows with light. And when someone feels unloved, the world grows dark. That's been confirmed by study after study. Harvard conducted a 75-year study on what makes us happy, what makes us feel secure and fulfilled. And surprisingly, the answer was not money or status or career success or popularity. All the things that we would think it was. A 75-year study just to find out what makes us happy. And what they found was that it was relationships, lifelong loving relationships. Relationships in marriage, in family. And it makes sense when you consider that God created us for the most important relationship of all, and that's our relationship with Him, our relationship with God. That's what God created us for. And John gives us one of the most amazing glimpses of God, and we read it in 1 John chapter 4. This amazing passage that God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." This is one of the most sublime truths of Scripture, that God is love. Notice it doesn't say that love is God, but that God is love. And this incredible truth unlocks many mysteries and answers many questions. Let's take a look at five mysteries that this truth unlocks, and then we'll see how this applies to us in our life. First of all, the love of God unlocks the mystery of creation. Because we wonder, why did God create the cosmos? Why did God create life? Why did God create humanity, unique among all creation? Since God is love, He desired to share His love. And we see God's love in His compassion for His creation. Notice Jesus' compassion for humanity. In Matthew 9:35, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Jesus had compassion on these common, ordinary people. Abraham Lincoln said, "God must love common people because He made so many of them." Well, God loves His people. God loves humanity whom He has made. And Jesus, of course, was moved with compassion for others. Do you remember in Luke chapter 7, Now it happened, verse 11, the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." Jesus was moved with compassion. He broke up every funeral he ever attended because of his love. The fact that God is love unlocks the mystery of creation. It also unlocks the mystery of free will. Why did God create us with free will, especially considering all the problems man has caused in the world? All the pain and suffering caused by the cruelty of man. But you have to remember that love requires free will, or it's not love. Without free will, there is no love, because love requires a choice. And without love, without a choice, it's not love. It's coercion. But, of course, free will choice is a double-edged sword. The free will choice to love also allows the free will choice not to love. If God only valued law, he could have created us with no more choice than a machine or an animal. Think about it. No free will, no problems, right? But no free will means no relationship. No free will means no love. We know that it grieved God when man became so corrupt with evil. And we ask, was it worth it? Was it worth it to give man free will? You could ask it another way, were you worth it? And the long-suffering of God says, yes, you were worth it. Because the love of God not only unlocks the mystery of creation and the mystery of free will, it unlocks the mystery of redemption. Because of free will, we've all sinned. And the penalty of sin is death. Physical, spiritual, judicial, eternal death. But God made a way, a plan for us to be saved. In Ephesians 2:4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Did you know there's a difference between mercy and grace? Imagine you committed a crime punishable by death. Justice demands the death penalty. Mercy would be if the judge gives anything less than the death penalty. So instead of the death penalty, let's say you got 30 years or 20 years. But grace is much more. Grace is as if the judge said, "I want you to have a new clean start." And so he adopts the criminal as his own son and gives him a new life and a new name and a new inheritance. The judge pays the price to buy you back, and then the judge takes the judgment and the penalty upon himself. Jesus paid your debt in full by his blood at the cross. Grace is so much more than mercy. The gospel is the good news of grace because of God's love. We deserve death. God's righteous judgment demanded it. So the cross is where the justice of God meets on one hand and the love of God is met on the other. Both his justice and mercy were satisfied at the cross by Jesus. We were set free from the bondage of sin by his blood. So, the love of God unlocks the mystery of redemption. It also unlocks the mystery of providence. God provides. His providential care is over all that he has made, all creation. We see that in Psalms 145:8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. This is God's care over all the cosmos. He also gives his providential care over humanity. And Paul described this in Acts 14, verse 15. The living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So God provides for all the cosmos, and he provides for all of humanity. And then we know that God also provides also especially a special providence for his children. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So this is God's special providence in which he works all things for good, ultimate good, spiritual good, for his children. It doesn't say that all things will be good. It says that all things will work together for good for his people, the mystery of providence. And of course, the love of God also unlocks the mystery of eternal life. You know, God reveals the answers to our deepest questions. Where am I from? Where am I going? Why am I here? The love of God unlocks these mysteries. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, the fact that God is love unlocks this mystery of eternal life. You were uniquely created by God in the image of God with a spirit that lives forever, long after this body is gone. C.S. Lewis said, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. You have a body. Like the word cemetery. The word cemetery is made up of two Latin words, sema and terra. Terra, of course, means clay, like terracotta. Sema means half. And so the word cemetery literally means the clay half. It's where the body goes. But that's not where your spirit goes. Pierre Chardin said, you are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. You see, you are uniquely created by God to be with God for eternity. And this is what amazed the Apostle John. 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You are uniquely created by God in the image of God to be with God for eternity. And these are the mysteries that this fact of God's attribute, that God is love, unlocks these mysteries, the mystery of creation, the mystery of providence, the mystery of salvation, the mystery of eternal life. What about the implications for us? The implications that God is love. First of all, noticed in our text, without love, we cannot know God. Remember, our entire series is about knowing God. But notice what the Apostle John writes. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You see, love is a divine attribute of God's character, just as holiness is. Without love, we cannot know God. Without holiness, no one can see God. Hebrews 12:14. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So, this is a characteristic, a divine attribute of God is love. And without love, we can't even know God. If we can't love one another, because love is from God. Also, secondly, love is an action. It's not just a feeling or just words. I heard about a husband who never said, I love you, to his wife. And when she mentioned it to him one day, he says, I told you I loved you the day we married. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. Well, everyone has a different definition of what love is. But agape love is not just feeling or words, but an action. God showed his love toward us in so many ways. He provides for our needs. He has loving concern for us. He has patience with us. His mercy, God forgives. But God's love is seen especially in offering his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins so that we can be made holy. Remember, without love, we can't know God. Without holiness, we cannot see God. And so this is why God showed his love in action by sending his Son. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, 1 John 4:9, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So love is an action. It's not just a feeling or words. And God displayed his love in action by sending his Son. And this is what agape is. Agape gives what is best for that person. And God gave what is best for us. You see, if knowledge was our greatest need, then Jesus would have spent 30 years in his ministry, not three. If physical healing was our greatest need, Jesus would have spent his ministry healing everyone, not just some. Our greatest need wasn't knowledge or physical healing. Our greatest need was to be saved from eternal judicial separation from God. God gave what we needed most. He gave the greatest gift of heaven. He gave Jesus to be our sacrifice for sin. And agape love calls us to give our best to God. Because that's what agape love is. Agape love gives what is best for that person. It's a self-sacrificing love. God gave what is best for us. And we're to give what is best for God. Our hearts, our lives. And here's where the love of God transforms us. I knew a man who had fallen away from the Lord for many years, and his wife was faithful to the Lord all those years. And on Sunday after church, she would bring home a little girl from the church to spend the day and have fun. And both husband and wife really drew close to this little girl. They didn't have kids of their own. And one day the little girl crawled up into his lap and said, "Uncle Dave, it makes God sad when you don't go to church." It took the innocence of a child to melt his heart and receive the truth. He had not gone back to church for years, and there was some resentment there. That all melted away because of the love of a little girl. And he went back to church that day and started serving the Lord again. You see, the love of God transforms us. It changes us. The love of God changed the Apostle John from a son of thunder to the apostle of love. It changed Peter from denying the Lord to laying down his life for him. It changed Paul from an arrogant Pharisee who chased down Christians to realize he was the chiefest of sinners. And Paul spent the rest of his life wanting to know the love of God. And he realized something, that it is beyond knowledge. He said that in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's the love of God that transforms our hearts to become more like Christ. It's the love of God that actually makes us more than conquerors. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God transforms us. It makes us more like Christ. It makes us more than conquerors. Don't leave your first love. Remember, we didn't love God first. God first loved us. Don't leave your first love. And now we're to love God and one another because God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. What a beautiful, divine, perfect attribute of God. We serve a holy, righteous, and loving God. What he wants for us is only for our best, if we would just trust and obey. May God bless you in your walk with him.